Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always by my good friends and partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Morton. Boys, we have much business to attend to. Piper, you've done deals, you've done work business deals, and we're gonna discuss further some companies with which the three of us have had alliances and why that might be bad. But before we get to the negative stuff, let's talk positive business deals, Pipe. Tell us what you have.
Yeah, let's talk about a company with whom I had a multi-year alliance that was not a negative. It was a good one. And that's
there you go.
It's the Christian Standard Bible, comes from Holman Bibles, which is part of B&H Publishers, part of Lifeway Christian Resources. Specifically, the He Reads Truth and She Reads Truth Bibles. So these are study and devotional Bibles, which are also affiliated with the She Reads Truth website and He Reads Truth website, which does daily devotionals attached to a Bible reading plan. So they walk you through scripture. There's about a 400 or 500 word just reflection on the text of the day. So for people who are looking to be regular Bible readers, looking for some devotional, some commentary, but mostly just sort of reflection kind of insights, that website is great. But these Bibles have pulled some of their best material and have put it into study Bible form, and they're some of the best designed Bibles I've seen in terms of layout, readability, just aesthetic. So there are timelines, there's information about authors, there are some of the same articles and reflections in there as well. So again, there's the She Reads Truth Bible and the He Reads Truth Bible. They are. And then CSB is also offering a giveaway for each of these. So they're going to give away two copies of each, so four total Bibles, and you can enter until October 15th. There's a link to it. It's just going to be a Google entry form. We'll share it on social media, and then if you go to happyrantpodcast.com, the link will be right at the top. I'll just highlight it there, so go to happyrantpodcast.com and look for the link to enter. So they'll pick four total winners, two for the She Reads Truth and two for the He Reads Truth. You can also go to Amazon and check it out. You can go to lifeway.com and check it out. And just look at these Bibles. You can see interior pages, the specs of them. There's multiple colors. They're the great sort of cloth on board covers. I actually have a He Reads Truth Bible sitting in front of me. I was doing some work out of it earlier. Love the website. Love what He Reads Truth and She Reads Truth do there. And then these Bibles are ones I've given away, probably four or five of these, to friends, because I think they're awesome, especially for newer believers or believers looking to engage the Word in a not technical sense, but just to understand it better. So kind of great across the board. But again, go to happyrantpodcast.com to enter to win one of these. You have until October 15th to do that. And then you can go to lifeway.com and just search He Reads Truth or She Reads Truth to check these out. They're beautiful Bibles and just a pretty awesome resource. So be sure to check those out.
Pipe, that was some beautiful promotional work. And
yeah, speaking of, I felt limbered up and warm and like I'm kind of in my element.
Dude, well, that's good. That's a mid-season promo read right there. Like you're really hitting your stride right now in terms of that kind of work. And speaking of work, let's get an update on Ron's Yoda work from the week. Piper, have you like run across anything magical by our resident man of the Yoda cloth, Ron Martin?
I have. I feel like after we recorded the last episode, there was just, I mean, and then some text messages exchanged. Ted, you were very affirming of Ron. You were offering him some great inspiration. You know, there's not one tweet that stands out, but I noticed an uptick in his, I don't know what, prolificness.
Yoda volume.
Yeah, the Yoda volume. He was really on his game for a solid 3 to 5 days after we recorded. And I think he sort of reverted back to his steady, very reliable ways. But he had a strong stretch where he came out firing. It was really good work.
No, Pipe, that's nice. Thanks,
maybe, man. That's good Yoda stuff. Let's keep it up, man.
That is, man. That's really affirming.
Keep up the good Yoda work.
It's the most encouragement I've had all week. It's great.
Piper, I don't mean to pit two men of the cloth against each other, but where would you put Ron's Yoda game in comparison with like Darren Patrick, for example? DP versus Ron in a pastoral Yoda square off. Who do you take?
Things just got awkward. Things just got real big.
I would put Darren Patrick more in like the pastoral, like Simon Sinek, TED Talky, like slogan-y yeah. kind of thing, where like sort of
like an over-the-ear microphone kind of
yeah,
kind of situation.
And a lot of yeah. a lot of like sort of offset couplets where it's like, you may think this, but it's actually this. Whereas Ron is more sort of deep pastoral Yoda, where he's more like, pastors, you are struggling, strong line of encouragement kind of thing. And so it's they have distinct styles, and I think they're targeting slightly different kinds of pastors as well.
You know what? Call me a Yoda purist. I want the word pastors in there. I want pastors and then dot, 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 and then some words. Yeah, you know, call me old school.
Well, Ron is 100% Yoda purist when it comes to this stuff. Somebody like Darren is going to be, like, you could easily take his and go, that seems to be more business speak or creative inspirational speak. When that can, Ron's cannot be confused for that. He is definitely speaking, you know, to the normal pastor, if you will.
Well, I mean, and that's true, Pipe, because the other thing, like a guy like DP, Big T, is, you know, he'll throw out like a Steve Jobs quote or something every once in a while.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So he'll throw out something from somebody that's like a good leadership tip. Yeah. Like when he's on the leadership tip and he's like, hey, no, that guy that owns, like, I don't know, Amazon or something had a really good leadership tip. So I'm gonna do a quote on that. I'm gonna Yoda tweet out a quote from Beisel, you know.
Baby, speaking of Amazon and speaking of OG like reformed Yodas, all right, we're gonna bring those two things together. a guy who used to have a lot of juice in our tribe, and you guys will have to tell me if he still has juice because I don't follow this stuff anymore. But Tim Challies used to be the guy, right? So like, if Challies blogged about your book, this is back when like the blogosphere mattered in the mid-2000s, but like, if Challies picked up your book and if he fawned over it on your blog, you knew you were a made man, right? You had like kissed the ring, and you were looking at superstardom. So my first question is, does Challies still have that kind of juice?
He not quite the same way, but only because, you know, there was if you're the first fish in the pond, you're automatically the biggest fish in the pond. So calling him an OG is right. But there is still, like, he still does his whatever links of the day. I don't know. It has a name. I can't remember what it is. And if you get linked to by Challies, like, you notice the traffic bump. Your book gets reviewed by Challies, you, like, it gains cachet in a crowd that you might not otherwise have. So he earned his audience early and has kept his audience, but he doesn't stand out quite as a traffic driver the way he once did.
There's a lot of guys in that game now. You know, there's a lot of book industry Yodas out there, so it's tough sledding for Challies. But Challies dropped an article recently, boys, that I tell you, and maybe this is my own conscience talking, I felt like he directed it right to me, because just last week I had indicated that I had made a business deal with Amazon, in which Amazon was carrying my new book, A Hard Thing on a Beautiful Day. Little plug there. But I made this deal with Amazon, and then immediately Challies drops this article saying maybe we shouldn't do deals with Amazon anymore as Christian authors, because apparently Amazon is like pulling conservative evangelical works off the shelves, as it were, off the virtual shelves. So
I don't know that if it's that Amazon is doing that as much as he's looking at it and going, this is a completely revenue-driven secular company that doesn't have any biblical standards at all, and we've essentially sold our publishing and sales soul to them, and at some point they will receive pushback, or they will just make the decision that a book that is of, you know, we would consider biblically orthodox flies in the face of cultural orthodoxy, specifically as it pertains to like a sexual biblical sexual ethic or something like that.
Sure.
It's an intriguing point he made.
Actually, Ron, let me put it to you this way. Like, do you think, so let's say, you know, the Challies worst case scenario happens and Amazon starts pulling these conservative books off the shelves. Like, do you think some enterprising Christian will make sort of the Christian Amazon? Because like it's been all of our experiences to some degree that, like, you know, whether it's movies, whether it's music, whether it's books, these are all three industries that the three of us have dabbled in or been in at one time or another. Like, there's always a Christian version of that, but it occurs to me there's no, like, at least that I know of, there's no like Christian Amazon. Is that a thing that like could happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime something takes a hit, something else, you know, something creative can can come up, you know, on the heels of that. So yeah, I totally believe that. I mean, because at the end of the day, we're just kind of talking about distribution. And so if we're just looking for a way to get product out to the people that we think are going to benefit from it, I mean, we can find a way to do that. And, you know, again, because it is distribution, it's a great distribution chain. It also has its drawbacks because of the volume. So it could kind of cause somebody who's a little more entrepreneurial in those things to come up with a way for this kind of product to get into the hands of people. It's like you can start to get all conspiracy theory about it, but I can see God using it as an opportunity and a good way to open up a new channel, new avenue, so to speak.
Yeah. No, I can see that too. Pipe, what do you think?
I think big picture, if Amazon made the decision to begin to discriminate against Christian books, it would definitely hurt. It would hurt authors, and it would hurt publishing companies in the short run. But big picture, I think Amazon would hurt itself because I mean, evangelical Christians especially we buy a ton of books.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I probably buy a book a week just on average over the course of the year. And I know I'm probably on the high end, but there are a lot of people like me, and I think Ron's right in that if they went that route, there would be a down period where we kind of suffered as authors and publishing companies suffered. Some publishing companies might go out of business because they are really just in bed with Amazon. But longer term, it would probably even the playing field and would force the kind of business creativity, distribution creativity, and the kind of focus that Christian publishers maybe need to have anyway, which is more message driven than revenue driven, less compromise. That could be really beneficial. So I do agree with Ron that it's the kind of thing that God could use. The hard part is that it's very hard for a publishing company to figure out how to do that while Amazon is still selling their books. Because they're essentially they're competing with a better business model, because Amazon delivers faster, they sell cheaper, they have it's the best buying experience on the internet. It's really hard to compete with. So until they are no longer an option, it's hard to create that alternative kind of buying and distribution option.
And I think you're right too, Pipe. It's not really in the best interest of Amazon to even make a move like that. I think it brings up a couple of things. You know, would Amazon at some point be forced to do that? In other words, would they be getting outside pressure to the point where they got to start pulling this kind of material? I mean, that could happen. At the same time, Amazon is so big when you consider the diversity of products that they have on there, which is like everything in the world. I mean, to stop carrying, you know, overtly Christian content, I mean, there would be so many other things then that would have to be removed as the result. So it wouldn't just be our content, but I think it would just cause an avalanche into other content that they would have to stop carrying as well. I mean, it would obviously be a bad move financially for them. At the same time, they're so big. Can something that big even does it even matter? You know what I mean? They're just like they literally own the world. They're like another planet. I mean, Amazon is like ordering from another planet that carries everything on our planet. So it's like, I mean, at some point it's like, how are they going to be affected by even like a small people group or an organization that's like, hey, Amazon, you're part of the problem here with stuff that's, you know, bigoted or whatever, you know, word we'd want to use.
Dude, to me, it's almost surprising that hasn't happened already with just as
I agree.
Politically charged as literally every single thing in the world has become. I mean, NFL football, right? Like something I've enjoyed my whole life and hold near and dear. Like even that has been tainted by, all these political arguments that it's really taken the joy out of it. Like I'm surprised nobody's gone after Amazon for like, you know, carrying conservative books or whatever. So,
maybe they have.
Well, I mean, I've seen people go after Amazon for carrying like Confederate flags or, you know, things with swastikas on them and stuff like that, which again, because I also find those things offensive. I'm like, yes, go get them. But, I think because the difference between Amazon and like the NFL is that, you know, when the NFL gets politicized, it kind of gets shoved in your face because it's the very first thing you see because it's at the very beginning of a game. And so depending on which side of that debate you're on, you're either very much in favor of it or very offended by it. With Amazon, they feed you what you want. So if you're going to buy like the Satanic Bible twice a week, you're just going to see a bunch of products associated with that. You're not going to see, you know, Tim Keller and the CSB She Reads Truth Bible and whatever else. You're only going to see like, here's a bunch of occult stuff. So,
dude, what are the ancillary products like related to the Satanic Bible? I wonder. That would be a fascinating Amazon probably, page.
Like, I don't know. At. Yeah, like pentagram temporary tattoos or something like that.
Nice. And, fun for the whole family.
That's right. Here's one for your kids. Oh, no, wait. You don't believe in having children.
Just did a one-click on that. I got mine coming.
Okay. Yeah, look at that. Dude, one-click purchase. Isn't it great?
Satanists don't believe in having children. They're not into, like, populating the earth like reform people.
Not overpopulating the earth.
No.
But, yeah, I think that the only way that that would come about is if there was a book that became a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Or a book that was widely publicized that spoke out against something that the culture holds dear. Mm-hmm. And then Amazon was pressured to take that down. It just seems unlikely.
I was going to say the likelihood of that happening. I mean, as close as they can get would be girl wash your face-ish kind of stuff, which is, you know, not really going to offend anybody but people that are actually Orthodox.
I think there could be a possibility. So say, for example, if there was a prominent gay activist who's not a Christian now, who became a Christian and began to speak out against the homosexual lifestyle, for example. And they decided to write a memoir or a book. I mean, when I say prominent, I mean like Hollywood prominent, not Christian prominent. So not
sure.
Like really actual famous. Or if Justin Bieber or somebody did that, you know, Justin Timberlake, pick your very famous person, and they became a proponent of something that the culture would be offended by, that could raise the stakes here. But even then, usually the moment somebody becomes a conservative Christian, they just lose credibility and they lose the public eye. And so it's hard for me to imagine a scenario where Amazon would stop selling. I could see them pulling a particular book for a limited amount of time. But even then, like, they're pretty good about just, unless something is outright hate, they don't pull anything. Like, you can find absolute horrific things on Amazon on all sides of the spectrum. And so I don't know. I think Challies is right that this is a thing to be aware of and concerned about. I think it's wise for publishers and Christian book buyers and sellers to consider their business models or their buying habits. But it does seem unlikely to me that Amazon is just going to be like, oh, you're anti-gay, we're not going to sell your stuff anymore. It's possible, but it seems unlikely.
Don't you think too, boys, that there's just and maybe Chalice falls into this category. There's a certain type of reform dude that just likes to like gloom and doom it about the culture. You know, they like to like envision the persecution that we're going to face. I don't know, that sounds meaner than it should, but I don't know, you run into people like this from time to time and they're just like, oh, it's gonna be bad, guys, it's gonna be real bad. And what? Yeah, like eventually probably, but I don't know, maybe not for a while.
Well, I think categorically they're probably right that you know, things will get worse because culture is very clearly moving away from a Judeo-Christian ethic, let alone the belief in Jesus. And so over time, those of us who would like to remain faithful to Jesus are going to be more alienated. But the predictions of how and what steps it's going to be like to get there, I think, are usually missteps. I think it's usually a much more gradual slide until all of a sudden there's a groundswell of it. And maybe that's what he's describing. It's like at some point there will be a groundswell where any viewpoint that is anti to the cultural orthodoxy of sleep with who you want, identify how you want, whatever, like anything that's opposed to that is just anathema. That's possible. Maybe that's what he's describing.
Yeah, that could be. Well, boys, regardless of what happens or how bad it gets, there is an organization out there that I think probably the three of us need to look into joining, or at least look into having our kids join. This is a thing that I didn't know was real until about 2 minutes before the program today. But somebody sent us a logo, a very handsome logo, blue and gold, that incorporates a cross and a shield for something called the Calvinist Cadet Corps. Big R, what do you know about this? Resident man of the cloth, what do you know about the Calvinist cadets?
So what I've been able to gather information-wise about it is absolutely nothing.
Well, buckle up, baby, because I have some information for you. So the Calvinist Cadet Corps is a non-denominational, non-profit, reformed Christian organization that equips men to mentor boys. The ministry establishes clubs primarily in churches. So not a big surprise. This was founded in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And if you live, I guess, in the greater Grand Rapids area, you can become a Calvinist cadet. Which
did Rob Bell, did he begin his career, I wonder, as a Calvinist?
Dude, I don't know. Robbie B. has had his... Dude, he's had his cadet badges revoked, probably.
Well, absolutely. But I wonder if he got... Yeah, I wonder if he got his start here. How fascinating would that be?
It would be so fascinating. In fact, somebody should, like... dive into that a little deeper and see if Robbie B. was ever a Calvinist cadet.
I'm surprised Pipe doesn't already have the info for us.
Well,
you know, I think I've repressed this part of my youth. Anything that involved like button up shirt uniforms feels like trauma to me. So yeah. I'm out.
I'm
on the website right now. And it's looking real Eagle Scout to me, baby.
It's looking very Eagle Scout, baby. I'm looking at it too, and I'm looking at that handsome uniform, though. I mean, you're looking at a
gorgeous
dude, a little bit of a blue sash with that thing that the neck thing that like holds the sash together at both ends. I don't know what that's called, but you're looking at one of those. You're looking at a nice drab sort of khaki colored shirt, a lot of badges, a lot of things you sew on a shirt. What do you call those things?
Patches.
Yeah.
I have a sort of a theological and logistical question.
Yeah, so do I, Pipe. Later. I wonder if it's the same one.
Okay, well, you go first. I want to hear yours.
Well, no, I want to hear yours first.
My question,
I'm wondering where they're taking these, what they're taking these boys through.
Okay, well, I have a different question. Mine was, so patches are earned for achievements, right? You know, if you're in Cub Scouts or, you know, Boy Scouts, Eagle Scouts, whatever, like, or you have a letter jacket, whatever, you earn these by accomplishing something. Isn't that antithetical to the very fundamentals of Calvinist theology?
Ooh,
like, aren't they
good type?
Aren't they just screwing these kids up in the head by being like, here's a theology built on grace. Now go earn a patch.
It's like, yeah, you don't earn your patch here. Your patch is given to you by grace at the Calvinist Cadet.
Dude, you should just get all the patches right at the beginning.
Yeah, the camp director just looks at a list of names of enrollees, and he's like, you know who gets these?
Camper
Ben and Camper Steve and Camper Joey are going to get the Bible memory patches. Doesn't even matter if they show up.
Camper Steve, you've been predestined before the foundation of the world.
Before the orientation of camp to receive the Bible memory patch.
Dude, right, like Timmy gets a whole shirt full of patches, and a handful of other guys don't get jack.
He memorizes all of Ephesians chapter 2.
But you know what the other guys get? They get promised that they will get patches in heaven. Like their patches are a later reward, because this present trial of sweating in a cabin is not worthy to be compared with the patches you will receive in heaven. I think we figured out that part. Now, what was your question, Ron?
No, that was it. I mean, that was kind of along the same lines, man. It's how are they going to receive what they're going to receive for merit? Because what's merit? You know, there is no merit. You know,
dude, I have a hypothetical for you boys, and I'm trying to think. I'm plumbing the depths of my memory to see if I have insider information on this. But of our tribe, right? Of the guys, kind of like our age in our tribe, which one of them do you think was the most likely to have been a Calvinist cadet?
KevinDeYoung.org.
Correct. Yeah. 100%.
Dude, he may have been one. And again, I'm trying to think back to old convos, too.
I was going
to
say, baby, you should already know this.
I should know it.
He was straight up the Eagle Scout of Calvinist cadets. Like, he went and did, like, his Eagle Scout project at their camp. And, you know, he built, like, the election bridge or whatever over the creek and has
the
big black on it.
On the site right now, it says founded by Kevin DeYoung.
I love it, dude. I love it. Yeah, you know, KDY crushed all this stuff. Like, he was the leader of the Calvinist cadets.
See,
like,
Challies totally would have been, except since he's Canadian, he just looked longingly across the border and was like, why don't we have this? Why don't they bring the good news of cadetism to me in my foreign land? And
dude, he blogged about it in the 90s when he was a kid.
And he said, like, that with a light French accent too.
Journaling about it.
Bring cadetism here, eh? And
dude, what about Calvinist
Mounties?
What a
great Canadian accent that was, Pipe. Cadetism here, eh?
Eh?
That was beautiful. That was so close.
It wasn't my best, but it was right up there.
I spent a lot of time in Canada, and you were on the money.
Sorry.
I love it. Baby,
sorry.
Big R, you spent a lot of time in Canada?
Yeah, we used to play shows and do festivals, and we did a couple of Canadian tours. We did all that stuff back in the day. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm quarter Canadian.
Dude, I like Canadians. Canadians are just fun people, man. They're agreeable people.
It is, man. You're up there, and you're looking around, and you're like, it just feels like America, but oh, look, we have British candy bars.
There you go. What could be better?
And then there's this one city where they only speak French and hate everybody who is from America and speaks English because we're Canada and we do fun things in a funky way.
Yeah. Dude, that sounds like college, though. I mean, hating everybody from America, that's kind of what happens when you go to college.
Or like Amazon.
Or Amazon. Yeah, that's right, man. We're tying them all together now. Yeah. Boys, we've only got a couple of minutes to go, but I want to talk about this thing that people have been really fired up about, and it's this Christian lunch table meme. Somebody sent me this. I think somebody, like, apart from you two, so I usually find out about internet stuff from you guys, but somebody texted me this meme. It looks like a public high school, like, lunchroom, which is a thing that a lot of people in Reformedom would have no concept of.
They're like, my classical school didn't have a lunchroom.
Yeah, exactly. My classical school, we just talked about Latin.
The lunchroom is like your dinner table,
right? Yeah, exactly.
My homeschool had lunch at the kitchen table.
I love it. Yeah, but apparently, like, this thing is, I don't know, is it making people mad or making people laugh? Or what's the deal, man?
Why would anybody be angry?
Okay,
like,
so,
why would anybody be angry about this?
First of all, Calvinists
can get angry about anything.
Well, I know.
Well, here's the thing. You know who's not getting angry about this is Calvinists. Calvinists are just making a bunch of dumb jokes about it.
That's good.
Who's getting angry are your more progressive Christians who are mad that there are, A, not enough women represented.
There's a lot
of just unpleasant people represented in this list, like those church leaders who have fallen. You know, there's a lot of, like, you know, people like me wouldn't even be welcome in this lunchroom kinds of comments. So it really just divides along your conservative and progressive theological lines in terms of the debate over
this. And one of the things I'm noticing, Pipe, here is table number 8. The only two African Americans are at the same table.
Oh, boy.
Vadi Bachum and Oprah.
Wait, there's actually a book called Why Do All the Black Kids Sit Together at Lunch? It's about racial divides in schools, and it's like the maker of this meme saw the book title and just went off of it and was like, I guess that's how it works. Probably didn't have any black kids at his classical school, so.
In his living room?
Yeah.
I feel like progressives, and this is a huge thing that they've pulled off, like, I feel like they have beaten even cranky reform people in terms of being the most humorless, like, people on the internet. You know what I mean? For a long time, I thought, like, nobody's going to beat reform guys in terms of being humorless and, like, sucking the joy out of everything. But I think progressives are getting close.
It's hard to have a sense of humor when you get offended by everything.
That's true.
Like, they looked at this and they saw Ben Shapiro's name, who, by the way, like, I'm not a fan of Ben Shapiro. Don't really enjoy him as a public persona.
As a human being?
I don't know him as a human being, but as a public persona, I don't enjoy him. But they see some of those names are like, they just look on here and they just immediately are triggered, like, in the non-ironic sense of triggered, where they immediately cannot absorb anything of the rest of what might be humorous around this. Like, for example, the fact that whoever made this put Charles Spurgeon and Joyce Meyer at the same table.
Dude, that's a dope table. That's the one that I would want to be.
Yeah, that's the one, man.
Yeah.
Or John MacArthur, Joel Osteen, and Mark Driscoll. Like,
dude, that would be a death match. Somebody's bleeding at that table.
Yeah, there's some fun things here. Like my dad at the same table with Rob Bell. I wonder if that lunch ends every day with Rob getting up and my dad saying farewell, Rob Bell, and just reprising it over and over and over again.
Kenneth Copeland just dropping cash all over them and saying, "Boys, just relax, have some money."
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Enjoy some cashish, yeah.
Enjoy some cash, man.
And then there's the Martin Luther, Pope Francis, C.S. Lewis table, which is by far like the most fun table. Like you sit at that table, you're like, man, it's going to be lively conversation. Someone's going to get insulted.
Luther's going to be the loose cannon. He's going to say
he's going to fart at the Pope. And it's just like these things are just going to go off the rails. It's wild.
Dude, I'm really heartened by the fact that, like, our guys didn't suck all the joy out of this. That fills me with hope, actually. So, well done, reformed them.
Yeah, I mean, it was, they didn't suck the joy out of it. There was a lot of just bad jokes, like, sort of like dumb dad joke kinds of things. But, like,
yeah,
I just want to say good hustle. Like, good effort, guys. Yeah. You're not good at jokes, but you really tried, and I'm proud of you for your effort. That's really well done.
Dude, I feel like the YRR movement has kind of aged into dad jokes. Seamlessly, you know what I mean.
These guys, you can just drop the first Y and the first R. We are no longer young or restless. We're just reformed dudes at this point.
We're reformed dudes with 8 kids.
It was always a dad movement. I mean, for sure,
dude. It was a dad movement even before it was a dad movement.
I mean, given the fact that you have like to have a minimum of 4 kids, which is where we get the 4 in reformed. You know, to even like be an acceptable family. I mean,
maybe
yeah,
4 is a tiny family. 4
it was
like,
always
oh,
a dad movement.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, boys, this podcast, I guess you could call this a dad movement in that we're all dads.
And yeah, I don't know if we're moving anywhere, but we're all dads and we're bloviating. So we're
dude, bloviating dads, man. We fit right in and reform them. I think on that level at least. But
I hope we're better at jokes than your average dad.
Gosh, I hope so, man. I really
only a
really
dad
hope so.
Would wonder and think that though.
Dare to dream. Well, boys, I'm sure Ron has baked goods to deliver on his bike, and Piper, you've got like man of the cloth stuff to do now that you're man of the cloth, and I've got to go walk on some tables and inspire some kids and make the education here.
Are you gonna O captain their captain or whatever?
Dude,
it is?
I'm O captaining. Yeah, okay. it's day one, week one, so there's a lot of O captain happening right now. Yeah, absolutely, inspiration all over the place, boys, but. We have done what we always do.
I really think you should go with the Light Brigade poem. What's in that? The Charge of the Light Brigade. I feel like that one's right up there. And do like an Irish jig on your desk or something too. You'll own their souls forever if you do that.
Just wear one of those like prep kid trench coats too that like I despise.
Dude, my least favorite part of Dead Poets Society is where the kid takes like the perfectly good desk blotter that his parents got for him and he like throws it in a river. Like, I never cease to be offended by that. Like, I've never had a sweet leather desk blotter, you know? And this kid's throwing them away like they grow on trees.
I mean, you can be mad at your parents, but why give away something?
Dude, right. Like, why throw away a perfectly good desk blotter?
You're not proving anything to them by
dude,
throwing
absolutely. That's not hurting them.
Beautiful that they gave you.
Absolutely.
Dude, Teenage Rebellion is just, it's so last week.
Dude, I just don't get that movie. I feel like if I read a poem out loud in my classes, my students would just laugh at me. You know, they would see right through it. So
you should see what happens. Do it and record it and see what happens.
If you thought you were being inspiring, they would laugh at you. If you came in and you were like heartfelt about it and, you know, it was like a look into your soul, I think it would resonate.
Baby, be serious about it and see what kind of reaction you get with that, man.
Maybe I'll try. Maybe I should do this. This should be a little social experiment for the podcast. I'm going to find the most Dead Poets Society poem I can find. I'm going to lay it on him, and I'm going to go deadpan.
I just told you, it's the Charge of the Light Brigade.
I'm doing it.
It's right up there.
I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm doing it. And I'll let you guys know. I'll check back in and let you know how it went.
See,
maybe
well,
I'll start.
Bring in one of the students on them and have them film you, and so we can get the class reaction. We could share the video if it's
yes.
Oh, dude, we're in the multimedia business now. Yeah. I love it. Pushing out.
Gotta be influencers, guys.
Taking this company to the next level.
But we're gonna put it on our website, not Amazon.com.
No.
Yeah, that's right, man. We're gonna create the new Amazon.
They will not make a dime off of this free video of Ted reading a poem.
Boys, I'm just going to say it right now. www.happyrantpodcast.com is the new Amazon. So go there. Like, I want site traffic like crazy. Now, to be clear, you can only buy like a handful of things there. Like, we carry a few, like just a smidge fewer products than Amazon.
We don't carry what you want. We carry what we want you to have.
That's right. And also what we make money off of.
I feel like it's a quality of life issue, though. Like, the quality of our products, like, they're really there. And you're not going to find anything objectionable, like, you know, Confederate flags on our happyrentpodcast.com, for sure. So there it is, boys. Business. Doing business, launching new business ideas, wandering to and fro throughout these topics. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Has fear stolen your peace? I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, helping you fight your fears and grow your faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.